Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee with hearts united in seeking Thy righteousness and seeking Thy kingdom, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to bring Thee worship and praise, and to dedicate this hour of meditation, of a listening ear and an open heart to hear Thy word and Thy instruction to us. Guide us unto Thy will, and help us to be part of Thy plan and worship and glory unto Thy name, for Thou art so worthy. We thank Thee, Lord, for being with us in this morning, and pray that Thou would be with us also in this afternoon hour as we seek Thee through Thy word. These things we do pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would like to read with God's help this afternoon from Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the power to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 1. May God bless. Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus and to all of the faithful in Christ Jesus, as he says in the first verse. And the theme that seems to be woven through this first half of the chapter is the great work of God towards mankind, the great things that God has done. And then in the second half, Apostle Paul's prayer for the church and all of the faithful in Christ Jesus, that our eyes might be opened and enlightened so that we can see these great blessings for the value which they have, and that our lives might become in conformity, that we would be filled with that love and power of God to do God's will while we're here upon this earth. We see a few themes that run through the great deeds of God, the great blessings of his work of reconciliation, that these thoughts of God, the things that he had planned, are all according to his will. And that teaches us that God is not reluctant in this great work of love and of salvation that he has sent Jesus Christ to accomplish. And we see that God the Father also is working all of these things through Jesus Christ, his Son. He has brought the message of salvation. He has shown us the way to the Father. He has given a sacrifice, a Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And it is all found in Jesus Christ. And his name will be magnified. And the Father is showing us how much more should we, the ones who've been created by God, also magnify Jesus Christ and adore him and see him for the role that he is playing in God's good work to man. And all of these things we see many times, Apostle Paul says that these things that God does according to his will and through Jesus Christ are according to the praise of the glory of his grace, to praise the glory of his goodness, to the praise and honor of God. The great things that God has done with a willing heart. He has done through Jesus Christ, and he has done for his honor and his glory. And Apostle Paul wants all of the believers to see and appreciate how God has been working. Because this is something, these truths that were revealed by Jesus Christ and his teachings that he brought to light were things that were not revealed to men throughout all history. There was prophecies of Jesus Christ and the teachings that would come in the Old Testament, which we read of this morning. But he has brought all of those things to light. And there's no more great revelation of God to man than his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the will of God is open and it's revealed. And there's no more revelation than what he has already provided in his word. And so with a great earnestness, we should look into the word, because God's provided everything that we need for this life and the life to come through the scripture. And that's why I believe that Apostle Paul is praying and desiring that the church in Ephesus and all of the faithful in Christ Jesus would remember that the important message of God has been spoken already. So often people look for something new, something novel, something interesting, but all of the treasures of the richness of God's love has already been revealed. He has not held anything back. And he desires for all of us to see it with understanding, being enlightened by his Holy Spirit, and our hearts open to the message that he's given through eyes of faith, that we might be able to understand God's love for us and the greatness of what he has done and the care that he has shown in inviting us to participate and to be a part of that. And as I think of these themes of God's great work toward man and the glory that is due unto him, a song came to mind that we have in the gospel hymns that I feel so beautifully summarizes the message of Ephesians chapter 1 that says, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life as an atonement for sin, that all might enter and open the life gate, that all might come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Let us come unto the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and give him the glory for great things he hath done." As Paul reflects on the greatness of God's work towards man and truly the greatness of his love to him and to each of us, some of the first words he utters are, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed. Let the praise and the glory be given to God. May we give him joy. May we ascribe to him the greatness, because he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We want to bless and give our thanks and worship the Lord because of his kindness to us. That was the first love that we have experienced for a baby that is growing. The first love and experience of safety and security is in the arms of his mother and of his father. That's where he learns where it's okay to trust and know that his needs will be cared for. Isn't it so special when we have an opportunity to hold a young child or hold our children when they're little? Those times are so fleeting. They quickly pass. And children become teenagers and they become adults, and they desire independence, and they want to seek their own way. And it's never quite the same again. And it's very similar with us and God. God has made us, and he has loved us first. And we remember learning the songs in Sunday school of Jesus' love for us. But our own will and Satan and this world had a different plan for us and caused us, and we willingly followed and rebelled against what we knew about God. And we went into sin. And we turned our back on him. And yet God loved us first. And he is trying to teach us that he is the best father. He is trying to teach us that there is a place where we can trust and be safe, that there is a refuge in him. And oh, how this nature seeks for something else and tries to find something better, but we will never. We will never find something better than that first love that God has given to us. And so Paul reflects upon his desire to worship and realizes it was because God has provided in abundance to us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of the spiritual blessings, all of the strength that we need to endure temptation, to overcome when we are tested, all of the wisdom that we need to speak a word to someone who is lost is to be found in Jesus Christ. That is where we'll find the help and our grace in time of need when we approach God and come to his mercy seat and come close to Christ. We long for spiritual blessings and help. They are to be found in Christ Jesus and in his precious teachings. And Paul says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The spiritual blessings that we've received from God are in accordance with, or in concert with. There's a harmony in God choosing us in him. And oftentimes as people reflect upon this verse, we leave off the words in him, and we think about God's choice of us. And maybe I'm chosen and you're not. But the reality of what God is trying to teach us is that Jesus Christ is at the center of what God is doing. And Jesus Christ was chosen before the foundation of the world, that God the Father would bestow an inheritance upon him. This is my beloved Son, the Father said, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He is the one who is going to receive the inheritance. And so it is of utmost importance that we are in him. That we would be in unity with Jesus Christ when we are. When we're in unity with Jesus Christ, his teachings and his life and his sacrifice, we are no more holy than in that state. We are no more without blame before him in love than in that state. That is the state of holiness, the state of abiding in his love without blame. That is the place where we should seek to be. And that is God's will for us. That is the place that he has chosen for his children and those to whom he will bestow an inheritance to. That is his will. The will of God, revealed in Jesus Christ. We often, all of us, have a desire to know what is God's will. What does God want for me, for my life, for my family, for direction? What should I do next? God has revealed his will. He desires for us to be in Christ Jesus, and when we are following him, we are holy and without blame before him in love, to the extent that we are following him. To the extent that we are not following him, we are alone and miserable and without the joy of the Lord. And so, for all of us who desire to know God's will and have questions and have specific things that we desire God to speak to us about, for me first and for all of us, let's hear what is God's will and what he has chosen us to, and be good stewards of that. For when we're good stewards of what God has already revealed, then he will entrust us the things that may seem a mystery to us now. Just like parents, as they are trying to teach their children about responsibility. There are certain things that we expect, and when they fulfill that, then other responsibilities, other privileges come. Or Jesus Christ taught in his teachings, if you are not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust unto you the true riches? We are wanting to make progress in our walk of faith. There's no faster progress than being in Christ, than taking his words and his teachings at face value, and in faith receiving them, and seeking with God's help, acknowledging that without him, we can do nothing but fail. But with him, he will provide. And our trust and our faith is in him that he will accomplish his will. Incapable and unexpected as it may seem, as we look at our own lack of strength and lack of wisdom. But God could take the fishes and the bread that were offered. Christ took them in his hands and he divided them and he provided in very unexpected means. And so he also does with his children. An unexpected means, but by the power of God and with humble hearts that are exercised by his truth, he is accomplishing his plan. These things are done that we might be part of his family. It says the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, God the Father is not described here as a hesitant and unwilling and not desiring that we would come to him, but he is desiring, and he has provided Jesus Christ for that purpose, that we might come and find our way to him. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. These things have been done so that the excellency of the power would not be in us and what we can do, but that God using us and working in us would be a praise to the glory of his grace, that he would show his kindness and love to mankind, that others would see that there is a way of hope through Jesus Christ, that there is a way that they can also come, they can hear, they can believe, and that there is a place, he says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All of us who are believers perhaps heard on our testimony night when the elder shared with us after speaking of the great things that God has done for us. I remember clearly the brother saying, go have a seat with the brethren. What a special, special privilege that was. What a blessing. That he has made us accepted in the beloved. And it is to the glory of God's grace that we have this comfort and consolation, that we have this new family, that we are part of a new people. We sing in Zion's Harp, O Jesus Christ, my Lord, what grace did me accord? The right to be numbered among thy band, among thy saints to stand, redeemed at thy right hand eternally. Oh, the greatness of God's work that has worked in our hearts. Let us not, as the Ephesians would later do, leave our first love and the remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And may those of you who are still outside the fold or maybe perhaps knocking at the door, hear of the glory of God's grace to you and know that the door is still open and that the cross is still our banner and the place to find redemption, which he also speaks of, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The meaning and the depth of the blood of Christ, that we might be bought back, that we might be redeemed and forgiven of our sins, cannot be overstated. And we do well to remember often God's kindness. And also remember that when we suffer, when we are called to share in Christ's sufferings, that his stripes would heal that hesitancy, would alleviate the fears of the things that maybe our flesh is afraid of losing for Christ's sake, and that we would follow him and freely give him our all, holding nothing back, for Jesus held nothing back. He shed his blood and let it flow. And we have received redemption. We have received forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is the riches that Jesus spoke of, the riches for which a man should sell everything that he has and be willing to give up anything, that he might obtain Christ, that he might hold to him fast and not deny him, as we were reminded this morning. These are the riches where God hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And God has made known unto us the mystery of his will. Again, speaking of God's will, that it's in some respects a mystery or hidden truths, that before Jesus Christ came, exactly how God would work out the redemption of man was not completely spelled out. The prophets inquired. The angels desired to know. But now is the time where God has spoken to us plainly through his Son. We're not looking forward to another revelation. We've found everything that we need. And so in one sense, we don't need to go anywhere else to find the truth of God's message to us, but in Jesus Christ and the word that he's left for us. But in another sense, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Is there any exhausting of his kindness to us and how he has brought us this redemption? The beauty of his salvation and his kindness? For the believer, it is somewhat of a lifelong and eternal quest to search and to seek to dig deep, to understand. And even Apostle Paul prays for the church in Ephesus that they might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. In one sense, we have found everything that we need. And in another, we will never fully exhaust or fully comprehend the depth of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. But God has made known to us his plan of redemption. He says, this verse, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There is a fullness of times in which Christ has come to provide reconciliation through his death and resurrection. And this dispensation, or the way that the fullness of times comes about, or the set of rules or order or laws that govern the fullness of times, God has set Christ to be the one through whom all things are reconciled. We say it time and time again. There is no name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved, but by Jesus Christ. That reconciliation can come through no one else. And people may have their different ideas about their personal salvation. But it is clear that salvation is only in Christ. And people may come up with all kinds of different conclusions about how they can live and what God will accept. It's the answer for God, and the answer that is good enough for us, is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And there is a sense in which the fullness of times is the completion of all history and the beginning of eternity. And in that sense, too, in Christ Jesus, all things find their fitting place. Those who are in Christ Jesus will be ushered into the kingdom of God and his dear Son to worship him for eternity. And all of those who are without the fold, who have rejected the call of Jesus Christ, Christ's word will judge them, and they will be accountable for what they know. And God will work that out perfectly. But it is all through Christ Jesus the Lord. All of history, all of human life, and our lives as well, are working toward that end goal where God will resolve all of the good, all of the evil, and it will all find its answer and purpose in Christ Jesus. This is how important and how central Christ Jesus the Lord is in God's plan for the ages, in God's work towards man, and also in our lives. May God open our eyes to see that he might be high and lifted up in our hearts, in our lives, that we would give God the glory for the great things he has done. We have also trusted and heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God has provided the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Comforter would be given to his disciples as a mark and as an earnest or a foretaste or down payment of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And it is a wonderful thing to know God's great work toward us in his redemption. Because in verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And yet, we are looking forward to a day. We are looking forward to a day of redemption of the purchased possession. Thanks be to God for his goodness to us. The kindness and love and the security that we sense in the faithfulness of his promises are but a foretaste of what he has planned for us in eternity. May we be faithful unto him, that we might be found in the faith when Christ returns or when he calls us home. Because that is where we find salvation, in Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no other name but his that is worthy of the praise, honor, and glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.